You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Alrighty, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. My name is Dr. Mike Newcomb to you, broadcasting today live from 1480 KPHX, and we are here in the desert in the sun. It's pretty hot out here. Eric, what do we got? About 110 degrees out here today. So,
well, usually in the summer, that's about it.
That's about par for the course here. But we're filling in for Tom here in the last second, so we appreciate the opportunity to do that. But let me give you some of the vital statistics for the show here today before we get started. If you'd like to call in at any time throughout the program, I love to talk to callers. And if you want to give us a call, any topic is fair game. So the number here is 1-866-987-TOM. That's T-H-O-M. Again, that's 1-866-987-8466. If you'd like to call at any time during the program, feel free to do that. And during this first segment, I believe we have a guest on the line right now. His name is John Nichols, and many of you know who John Nichols is. He is with The Nation magazine. He is the Washington correspondent and also author of Uprising. And you can check out the website, www.thenation.com. So without further ado, let's get to our esteemed guest, John Nichols. John, welcome to the program.
It's good to be with you, although I don't know if I'm really a Steve. I think I'm just another caller.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, John, I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me now? How do I sound?
I can hear you now. It sounds like this commercial again. Are you walking around?
Yeah, we're not selling telephones.
There you go. Well, listen, John, I read your article today, and it is in The Nation. It says what a Dem platform endorsement of marriage equality would mean. And this is big, John. Is this not big for the Democratic Party to sort of step outside the box, so to speak, and really take a stand on a very fundamental issue that involves basic human rights?
I think it is a huge deal, and I think there come these times in any political party history where it takes a stand that matters, that stands out. Certainly in 1948, Hubert Humphrey, on behalf of the minority, convinced the Democratic Party to embrace civil rights for African Americans. That was a very big deal. Similarly, on the other side, in 1976, when Charles Pickering and many of the Reagan delegates convinced the Republican Party to abandon its traditional support of reproductive rights and become an anti-choice party, that was also a big deal. So these decisions on platforms have long-term resonance, and I think that something significant is going on in the Democratic Party.
Let me ask you this, John, because this is something that I often speak about on my show here locally on 1480 KPHX, and it is that issue of fundamental human rights. And I have to say, over the last decade or so, I have been somewhat disappointed in the Democrats, in their equivocation, their straddling defense when it came to basic human rights, i.e. marriage equality and gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered rights. What do you think took so long for the Democrats to come to the table? Was it just a matter of the polling, and now that the polls indicate that the majority of Americans are in favor of marriage equality and gay rights? Is that what's at play here?
Why the epiphany now? Yeah. Political parties are big institutions, and they try to be national in scope. For a long time, the Democratic Party was held back by some of its more conservative members. And I think it's fair to say that these are folks overwhelmingly concentrated in the South, and to some extent in some rural areas. But we've really seen an evolution of the Democratic Party, and I would even argue the Republican Party to some extent, on this issue. There is a recognition that, you know, if you run into somebody under the age of 40, they just don't have a problem with same-sex marriage, with marriage equality. And so I don't want to make the Democrats out to be too noble. I think that they are seeing the writing on the wall. They are recognizing the evolution of our politics, and they're embracing it. But one thing I'll add is that when political parties do this, when one of the major parties takes a strong stand on a fundamental issue, that does mark a turning point. It's something you ought to recognize because that clearly says, you know, we're not going to equivocate on this anymore, and we're also not going to be all that comfortable at home for those who oppose marriage equality. And parties don't do that very often. When they do, it is a signal that an issue has come of age, so to speak, politically.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How much do you think it made a difference when President Barack Obama came out with respect to gays serving in the military and openly said that he was in favor of basically repealing the Clinton-era don't ask, don't tell policy? How much of a shift was there in the national mindset, if you will, from that decision from the president to repeal and get Congress to go ahead with getting rid of the don't ask, don't tell policy?
Well, I think you asked that question exactly right when you said how much of a shift was there in the national mindset. When the president took those two stands, one stand on rejecting the absurd don't ask, don't tell rule of the military, and the second stand saying personally he had evolved toward a pro-marriage equality stand, both of those moves, I think, did have huge resonance in the broad politics of the country. And I think it's especially important in two areas. One, in the African-American community, which is very, very loyal to the president. I think that his taking those stands caused a lot of people to think, rethink, maybe to take a more sympathetic stand toward the LGBT community. There has been some resistance, particularly in folks who had come out of particular church traditions. Also, I think it had a real resonance among rural Democrats, people who really are committed Democrats, but were a little afraid of this issue, and saw, well, if the president's going there, I'm going too. So that's a big deal. But there's always a dance between presidents and their party. And so as Harry Truman began to be more and more sympathetic toward African-American civil rights in the 1940s, you saw the Democratic Party pushing out even further and kind of pulling him along, he encouraging the party. I think we have a similar thing happening now with President Obama and the Democratic Party. He has taken a stand. Now you see the party actually taking a somewhat clearer, more aggressive stand. And again, I think that pulls the president a little bit as well.
No, no doubt about it. Well, let me ask you this, John. I know the president talked about sort of his evolution of his thinking and that, you know, he needed to reflect and turn inward, et cetera, and now has come upon these decisions. But how important do you think it is to the base to see the Democratic Party just to be bold? In other words, just to say, you know what, as you eloquently put in your article, you referenced Minneapolis Mayor Hubert Humphrey at the DNC convention in 1948. And let me quote, this is from Humphrey. The time has arrived in America for the Democratic Party to get out of the shadows of states' rights and to walk forthrightly into the bright sunshine of human rights. Now, that's 1948. We're talking about 60-plus years. That's quite a long time. Well, in the scheme, I'm a physician. In the scheme of evolution, it's not a long time. But political evolution, it is a long time. So don't you think the base would be much more enthusiastic, John, if the Democrats were to take bold stands on human rights, not just to do what's politically expedient or to wet your finger and put it up to the air and see which way the wind is going, but to take bold stances on fundamental human rights, whether it's gay rights, whether it's women's rights, whether it's, you know, fundamental rights for immigrants, like here in Arizona when we had Senate Bill 1070. I just think that the base would be so much more energized if we didn't do this piecemeal.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's an absolutely vital thing for parties to step up and to stand for something more than just politicians. A party shouldn't just be an election machine. It ought to have a set of principles and ideals that it puts at a higher level.
All right. Hey, John, we're going up against a break. You got time for one more quick segment? There's a few other things I wanted to address
with you. I'll stick with you, brother. Don't worry.
All right. Appreciate it. Back in a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Good doctor here, Dr. Mike Newcomb, broadcasting from 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, filling in for Tom Hartman today. I'd like to welcome our guest, John Nichols, back to the table. John, welcome. Hello, John.
with you, Doctor.
Oh, good to hear you there, John. All right, well, listen, I appreciate you staying for an extra segment because I think this is a very important issue, and this article that you penned today really struck a chord with me because for the longest time, I have to say that when I hear Republicans and conservatives talking about being the defenders of liberty, being the defenders of freedom, being the defenders of the Constitution, I want to vomit, John, because when I see what they do and the policies that they want to implement, they're quite the antithesis. They are not the defenders of liberty and freedom. They're always looking to deny or curtail or infringe upon someone's personal liberties and freedoms if it doesn't fall nicely in line with sort of their myopic view of what liberty and freedom represents. And I have always thought, John, that this is a golden opportunity for the Democrats to really differentiate themselves between conservatives and Republicans. And on your article today, you talked about the Democrats adopting a pro-equality, pro-gay marriage platform at the National Convention. But that's just one segment of our society, John. Maybe you could speak a little bit more directly to some of the other segments that are being denied liberty and freedom, i.e. the Hispanic community, mm-hmm. and the females and women having, you know, unequal pay. 78 cents on a dollar is what a woman makes comparable to a man. So this issue, this platform of just marriage equality, do you think it could be expanded to a much broader swath of the American population?
I absolutely do, and I think that you're hitting on something very important here, a notion that perhaps our politics shouldn't just be about, you know, sort of a reactive approach or an approach that is kind of at a certain point in evolution, but it should actually focus on broad themes and big ideas. The Republican Party, frankly, has gotten a lot of traction out of trying to own the term freedom. To simply say, you know, yeah, we are for freedom and, you know, we love it. We're on board for it no matter what the debate, no matter what the circumstance. But the odd thing about that is that, in fact, they have a very strange definition of freedom. It includes the freedom to take away somebody else's freedom. And that's something that is at odds not with the word freedom, but with the word equality. The concept that everybody has an equal place at the table and an equal claim to freedom is a very, very vital thing. And I really like the way you were phrasing it there, to say that perhaps the Democratic Party should try and brand out that word equality and to say, you know, that, and let's even take it a step further. You talk about women, talk about Hispanics and others, talk about immigrants, but let's also talk, frankly, about economic equality and to say that while we don't begin to presume that everybody's going to end up with a exactly equal pot of money, we would like to absolutely assure that everyone has an equal shot at the good life in America. And so we want to protect union rights. We want to make sure that small businesses have the resources to get going. We want to protect farmers. You know, a real agenda of saying, you know, we want an economic equality and economic democracy. And then let's take it the next step. Let's also say that we want political democracy in America. We believe that when a billionaire can spend $1 billion on a campaign, that creates an absolute inequality where one voice is heard so much more loudly than the others that it can actually shout them down. And so we want to assure that we have a political equality in this country where every voice can be heard. Start to speak in those terms. I think Democrats would excite a lot of people.
Yeah, and I agree with you, John. And hopefully the Democratic Party will not evolve, but because sometimes it takes time to evolve. I mean, look, we can go back to the early days with slavery and remember the three-fifths compromise where the slave was considered three-fifths of a person. Or, you know, we don't want that kind of evolution. We want to accelerate things.
Sometimes you have to be pure. Sometimes you have to stand for things. And I appreciate, you know, my friends in the Green Party and my friends in other third parties who have really stood up and raised these issues and made a lot of noise about them. And I think it's incredibly vital and important to have a multi-party democracy. But at the same time, these two major parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, have a very definitional role in the range of debate in America, for better or worse. And so when the Democratic Party takes a stronger stance on behalf of equality, that expands the whole range of debate in the country. And so I think it is important. And I think for those who identify as Democrats, I think it's very, very important to think not just about candidates and elections, but also to think about what it means to be a Democrat. What does it mean to be a progressive Democrat? And the more that people talk about that, the more, frankly, that they have some arguments about it, have some debate, the healthier it is, because political parties are at their strongest when they stand on principles, when they have ideals that people can begin to identify with.
Right, right. No, no doubt about it. Hey, John, did you actually read this book? I read it a little while back. I think it was Cass Sunstein who talked about the second Bill of Rights, and it addressed some of the issues that you were talking about, in particular, sort of economic rights, economic equality.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, Cass Sunstein is one of the great thinkers of our time, but I want to emphasize he didn't come up with those ideas. The guy who started talking about economic equality and economic democracy was Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
When Franklin Roosevelt outlined his four freedoms, and in the last great speeches of his life, he spoke at great length about understanding that in a true democracy, people needed to have at least some economic security,
right,
and they also needed to have some sort of...
Hey John,
voice.
Can you speak a little bit more into the phone? I'm having a tough time hearing you.
I apologize. In a true democracy, Franklin Roosevelt said, people have to have not just an equal access, they also have to have an equal economic security.
Okay, hey John, I hear the music, so we're going to have to end the
You're
interview
listening
right
to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome to the Tom Hartman Show. You are listening to the Tom Hartman Show, and I am not Tom Hartman. I am Dr. Mike Newcomb, broadcasting you live from the Valley here in Phoenix, Arizona, from our flagship station, 1480 KPHX. And we'd like to welcome everybody aboard, as we like to call it here in Phoenix, the Freedom Express. And we just got done talking about the whole concept of freedom with John Nichols from The Nation. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I would encourage you to do so. He wrote penned an article called What a Dem Platform Endorsement of Marriage Equality Would Mean. And you can just go to thenation.com and check out John's article today. But this is a cataclysmic, a seismic event, if you will, because in the history of America, in the history of mankind, I would assume, this is the first time that a major party, a major political party, is actually going out on the limb and endorsing equality for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered individuals. And I think it's been a long time coming. Here locally on my program, I often talk about this fundamental issue and talk about it frequently because I feel personally that if we as a nation, we as a people, are not honoring our Constitution. And oftentimes you hear conservatives talking about how they are the defenders of liberty. They are the defenders of freedom. They are the defenders of the United States Constitution. And I'll tell you, it really makes me nauseous. It literally makes me nauseous and want to vomit because every single thing that the modern day conservative, the modern day Republican does is quintessentially the opposite of real liberty, of real freedom, okay, of obeying the Constitution. They wrap themselves around the flag and throw out that Constitution and wave it in the air as though they are the original founding fathers. And it is so far from the truth that I feel the Democrats, as John pointed out also in this article, could really make this our signature issue. I mean, we could make this our brand because throughout the history of the United States of America. It has been the Democrats, time and time and time again, who have been the ones who have defended individual liberty and defended individual freedom, not the Republicans. If you go throughout history, the Republicans have tried every single step along the way to deny people their fundamental rights, going all the way back to the days of slavery, okay, enslaving people, bringing people from their own indigenous lands, putting them in shackles on boats and, you know, just completely, completely abusing and oppressing people, and then using human labor to their advantages so that they can get economic advantages. And to a certain extent, that still exists today. Maybe the shackles are not there physically. Okay, maybe we're not necessarily bringing people over in boats, but there is economic oppression. There is that kind of infringement on individual liberties and freedom. And I really believe that if the Democrats do as they say they're going to do in this platform coming up at the National Convention, the Democratic National Convention, and really fully embrace human rights, okay? And I know it's, in this particular instance, it's gay rights. And look, it is a long time coming, because when you look at our Constitution, when you look at we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, it's we, it's all the people, you know, that we have the right, that all men and all women are created equally, and we have that right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And that, to me, can become a fundamental brand of the Democratic Party if the Democrats are willing to step outside the box and not do what's politically expedient. As I said in an earlier segment, not just kind of lick your finger and put it up to the air and see which way the political polls are going and then decide to take a stand. That's not what America's about. That's not what freedom's about. That's not what the United States of America is about. Could you imagine if we had the early colonists, okay, when they were taking a stand against the British and they didn't like the taxation without representation, they didn't like to be ruled by some autocratic king in a wig all the way across the other side of the world, across a great ocean. Imagine if back then the early colonists said, well, gee, let's go to a poll. Let's take a poll and let's see. Let's see where we the people are right now. And if it's not 50% plus one, then guess what? We're not going to declare a revolution. We're going to be ruled by the autocratic king, the monarchy. Imagine if that's the way we started this country. And we all know that's not the case. We all know that's not what happened. Because when it comes to freedom, when it comes to liberty, you have to take bold stances, okay? And if you don't take bold stances, then guess what? You are not an American. You are not a patriot. You are not a defender of the Constitution. And for the Republican Party, somehow or another, over the last several decades, to have brainwashed the American people into thinking that somehow or another they are the fierce defenders of liberty, they're the fierce defenders of freedom, is bullcrap. And we all know that. But the Democrats need to take that stand. And I think this is a great stand with gay rights and gay equality. It's a long time coming. Okay. I think we were wrong when we had the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that was endorsed by President Clinton. I think that was a fundamental mistake, because you really don't have an America. You don't have a fundamental democracy if all individuals in the United States of America are not afforded basic liberties and freedom. How can you have a democracy? How can you sleep at night knowing that there's a group of people in this country who are being discriminated against, and that it's institutionalized discrimination, that according to our laws, codified into law, you have Republicans and conservatives across this country trying to codify into law actual discrimination and infringement on people's liberties and freedoms. I see it all the time. Here in Arizona, we are at the epicenter. We have one of the most radical, far-right conservative state legislatures that you can imagine. I mean, I am not kidding you. I'm sure you've heard about tons of things that are happening here in Arizona. Everything from Senate Bill 1070, which more or less gave law enforcement officials the right to discriminate people against people of color. I mean, Senate Bill 1070, if you're not familiar with it, it was passed pretty much unanimously by the Republicans at the state level here, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, and thank God Almighty that the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court doesn't always get it right, but in this case, I believe they did, it institutionalized discrimination against people of color. So it would give local law enforcement officials, police officers, other, you know, deputies, sheriff's deputies, the ability to say if they thought that somebody was here illegally, guess what they can do? They can detain you. They can interrogate you, basically deny you your freedom and liberty to move around and do what you're supposed to do here in the United States of America, which is to be free, and basically detain you on a hunch. And my question to you is, how can you tell if somebody on a hunch is here illegally? I mean, we're supposed to be the melting pot, right? We're supposed to be the Rainbow Coalition. We're supposed to be the Statue of Liberty. Bring me your poor, your meek, your humble, yearning to breathe free. And you're going to tell me that a police officer walking down here in the streets of Phoenix can look at somebody and say, you know what, I don't think that guy is legal. How could you do that? I would love to do, Eric, I'd love to do a little game show, if you will, where we can actually, you know, put seven people in a lineup and say, pick the illegal, okay? And just
guess
put
the illegal?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Guess who the illegal is and put seven people in a lineup and let one of them be an undocumented, okay? I don't like to use the word illegal. Let's say undocumented. See, they brainwash us so much that we're actually using their jargon. I would guarantee you I would get 100 conservative Republicans in the audience studio, let them guess, and I would almost guarantee you that the overwhelming majority of the time, they will get it wrong. They will not be able to guess the undocumented immigrant, Eric.
I'm pretty sure that too, Mike.
We should try it. We should actually try and see if they can do that.
Well, we'll have to plan that in advance.
We'll have to plan it in advance. But see, this is the thing that bugs me, is that the Democrats have to stop worrying about polls and have to start doing what fundamentally is right. And this is what John and I talked about today, John Nichols, is that this is a pivotal point. This is, call it an epiphany, if you will, but this is a pivotal crossroads that we're at right now. And if the Democratic Party at the Democratic National Convention this summer is able to say, we are now drawing a line in the sand, we are putting the flag down, and we are saying that this United States flag, this flag of the United States, it's for everyone, okay? So it doesn't matter if you're gay or if you're straight, okay? It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you're a Mormon, a Catholic, a Christian, a Jew. It doesn't matter. This flag of the United States of America protects the liberties of every individual citizen. And that's the beauty of this democracy, okay? Because if you look at the Constitution, if you look at the Bill of Rights, it's not necessarily mob rules, majority rules. There are beautiful things in those documents that protects the minority so that they are not usurped by the majority, so that it isn't mob rule, so that every individual citizen is unique and everybody has a fundamental right to pursue their life as they so choose. But see, we don't have that today with the modern Republican Party. And we could talk about that throughout the rest of this program. I know we have some guests coming on, but to me, it is a fundamental issue that's going to define not only this upcoming election, but other elections in the future. Because if the Democrats don't, if they don't take a fundamental stand on basic human rights for all individuals, whether it's immigrants, whether it is the labor, the unions have been under attack, you know, for the last several decades. For women, women get 78 cents on the dollar versus a man. Gay individuals, I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's a full frontal war on fundamental human rights, and we're going to talk about this. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb, filling in for Tom Hartman. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb filling in from 1480 KPHX here in Phoenix, Arizona. I appreciate everybody tuning in today and listening to the program. So, Eric, let's open up the phone lines right now. We love to get people engaged, right, on the phones.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're from the left or the right or anywhere in between, correct?
Well, that's usually how you play it, Mike.
That's how we play it. We don't screen it. We just give you the phone number. You give us a call, and if you want to agree, give us a call. If you want to agree to disagree, give us a call. So the number here is 1-866-987-TOM. That's T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8255. 8466, and we're going to be taking callers. I'd like to talk about this whole concept of fundamental liberty and freedom and how the Republicans have somehow or another been able to propagandize this concept and make it, quote-unquote, their brand. And my question to you, the listener, is, what do you think? Do you agree with the doctor? Do you agree that we as Democrats, we as progressives, need to take that mantle away from them and make it our own? Because if you really think about it, we are the ones. We are the only political party, for all intents and purposes, who are really looking after fundamental individual liberties and freedom and protecting them for all people. So, as I said, 1-866-987-8466 is the number. And let's go to our first caller. I believe it's David in San Diego. Let's get David on the line right now. David, can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
All right, David. Well, thank you for calling in from San Diego. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to make a couple of points. I was a film producer on a documentary about the credit card industry with Elizabeth Warren. And considering how gay marriage was shot down so swiftly and efficiently in the state of California by Republicans and out-of-state Republicans and out-of-state Mormons, one thing the gays and lesbians can do is we got to think national as well as local. And if you go to Elizabeth Warren's website, you do not have to work for Elizabeth Warren. You don't have to live in Massachusetts. You can go to her website, and there's a section on there about writing letters. It's a very slick application. I don't work for Elizabeth, by the way. I just happen to like her. I stand by her and hope she gets in the Senate. And one way we can make sure that happens is we can nationally go to her website and write letters to the national media. It's very simple. You write what you want to say. You click send, and your letter goes to all the zip coded newspapers in your area. And another thing we have to do, as we've seen with Chick-fil-A, is we have to get behind the White House petition, go to the White House website, look for their petition, and sign the Working Against Citizens United in order to get that undone, because Chick-fil-A is just the tip of the iceberg. Imagine half of the companies in America doing what Chick-fil-A has done to gay and lesbians, or worse. So we can't sit back.
No, I look, David, I agree with you, and we appreciate your advocacy for Elizabeth Warren. She is a true defender of liberty and freedom, and in particular, economic freedoms for all Americans. She's not just trying to protect economic interests of Democrats. She's trying to protect interests for everybody. And I think, look, it's a close race out there right now. You got the incumbent, Scott Brown, in Massachusetts, and you look at the polls, it's, you know, all within the statistical margin of error. So she needs all the help we can get. So listen, David, I got a bunch of other calls, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's David from San Diego. Okay, 1-866-987-8466. That's 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. Let's go next to Bob on the line, who's calling. And Bob is calling from, it looks like Havelock, North Carolina. Is that correct, Bob?
Havelock, close enough.
Havelock, okay.
Yep.
All right, Bob,
it's
what's on your mind today?
Cherry Point military base town. And I had a comment about don't have to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So my comment is this. I can barely hear you, by the way, so I'll just spit it out. I think that it was a necessary step to be able to get gay and lesbians to freely serve in the military was to have Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because then they had something to repeal. I don't think that we would have openly gay military serving today if it wasn't for Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah, but you know what, Bob, I'll have to respectfully disagree with you on that, because that's like saying, you know what, we needed slavery in order for African Americans to get fundamental rights. I mean, look, we don't need people's rights to be denied so that they can get it on a rebound. It should have never happened in the first place. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was fundamentally wrong, and President Clinton, by endorsing that, I think made a fundamental mistake. I mean, he had a lot of signature achievements during his presidency, but I think that was a major, major black eye for President Clinton, and it should have never happened. I mean, I don't think you get rights by denying rights, if you follow what I'm saying.
I absolutely agree with you there, but in the world we live in today, I don't believe it would have been possible for somebody to come forward with a bill or whatever to allow gays and lesbians to serve openly in the military today. It might tomorrow, but not today.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you. That's Bob from Havelock, North Carolina. But I disagree with Bob because you don't get to freedom and liberty by denying people their fundamental rights. And I'll go back to my example. That's like saying that African Americans, they wouldn't be somewhat free today had we not enslaved them and we had to go through slavery and a civil war and shackles and oppression and millions of people being brutalized and killed under authoritative regimes in order to get their liberty and freedom. I happen to disagree with that. But let's go next to, I think this is Jane on the line from, you know, Eric, I actually had to get reading glasses during the break. I could not read anymore. I went to this Harvard University internal medicine review, and they had all these slides, and I kept looking at the slides on paper.
So as a doctor, you actually do research things?
Yeah, but I couldn't read things. And then I said, oh, my God, what's happening? I can't see anymore. I'm going blind. But then I went to the optometrist, and now I actually have to have reading glasses. So I bought a separate pair, though. I didn't go with two pairs.
You're lucky, Mike. I've been having to use those for years.
What are the progressive bifocals?
No, I just use the store brand stuff.
All right. Well, anyway, so this is pretty small, this font here. I'm going to have to, but it looks like it's Jane from Round Mountain, California. So let's go to Jane here. How are you, Jane?
Okay. You got it right. It's a little town in Northern California above Sacramento. Very progressive. And I just want to say two things. Number one is I'm very excited that finally, you know, as a former Democrat, I can't say I'm a Democrat anymore because I've been so annoyed at the lack of attacking the Republicans and the DOMA people. And, you know, they need to get off there. But
hey, Jane, do me a favor. Hold on. We're up against the heartbreak, and I'll bring you back first in the queue, okay? So just hold on there. Okay, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman Show in a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. We are now here, hour number two. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom today. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the table. We got a full board of callers waiting in the queue as we speak here. And during the first hour, just to do a quick recap, we did have John Nichols on from The Nation, and he penned a very, very pivotal article about the Democratic Party and the upcoming national convention, whereby the Democrats are going to adopt as part of their party platform marriage equality, equal rights for gay, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgendered individuals. And this is pretty much an enormous, enormous event in the history of American politics, because up until this point, no major party has ever gone out on a limb, if you will. And I don't know why it's going out on a limb, to be honest with you. I thought it's something that should have been done years and years and decades ago. The fact that we have institutionalized discrimination against any group in this country, whether it's gay and lesbians, whether it is Hispanic individuals, whether it's women, whether it is working men and women who are part of a labor union, it should never happen. In America, it should have been gone a long time ago, and there should be zero tolerance for any infringement on people's liberties and freedoms in this country. So that's what we talked about during hour one. During hour two, we got the phone lines open right now. So I would encourage people, if you have anything to say, feel free to give us a call on the Freedom Lines right now at 1-866-987-TOM. That's T-H-O-M, 1-866-987-8466. So let's go, Eric, in order of who called first, because we have the technology here and we can see who's been holding the longest. And let's go first, I believe, to Ralph. Ralph is on the line from Crawfordsville, Indiana. Ralph, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
All right, Ralph, welcome to the table.
What I wanted to talk to was about, you know, I think that we need to be more on the ground here and with grassroots movement. But first, let me say that Tom and Amy Goodman, they are the two most attractive and beautiful people on TV that I see today. if you include, you know, some gray matter and speaking evil to speaking truth to evil.
All right. Well, I would agree with you.
Well, I can't watch TV, Fox TV, unless I'm in my basement, because I tend to want to throw things at the screen at these beautiful blonde bombshells they have that are just shills for the Republican Party.
Let me comment on that, because it's interesting that you mention that, because I think what you're going to get at
is the deficit going right now is in a way to combat, take money away from negative media, that we need to put more Democrat institutions on the ground. They usually move in so close to election. People are dying to help the parties. And if you want a strong Democrat, you empower him and you include him in the party. And that's how you change votes, is you talk to people in person. They get bored with watching it on TV. From both parties. And I think that if any Democrats or strategists are listening, get on the ground. Open it up to us. I have supplied PA and played music for our party here in town, and that's the way I see it, turning things around and getting, actually changing votes.
No, I agree with you. Listen, Ralph, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. But Ralph is speaking about something which is very important, which is the concept of grassroots politics. And he had mentioned that he's down there in his cellar, Eric, and that he wants to throw a brick at the Fox News program and the TV. But that's the problem with politics in America, is that we have so many people, Eric, who are upset and angry, and they want to throw something out against the TV, but rather they should be out in the streets. Rather than being in your home and in the sofa upset, out in the streets protesting. Look, that's what the Tea Party did very effectively.
And,
right?
and you know what? In these days, you got all this, you know, social media stuff. You can apply that as well. You don't have to just go
right
into the streets. You can do it that way as well.
Right. There's a lot of ways to get involved, but that's the most critical thing. Don't be upset and angry and want to throw things at your TV. Use that anger, channel that anger, channel that energy, and get up off your duff. Get out into the streets. Start protesting. Go door to door. Work on a local campaign. Knock on doors. Make phone calls. Phone bank during elections. Or if it's simple as Tom Hartman often says, go to the work and the water cooler at work and try one-on-one to sway somebody's mind. Try to change their perception of things. There's nothing like a human being talking to another human being in person, trying to heighten somebody's consciousness, to lift their spirits, to change perhaps the way they look at the world, and do that in a fundamental way that they're touched, and it'll stay with them once you leave that conversation. So I agree, grassroots is the way to go. Today, unfortunately, because of the obsessive and, I should say, obscene money that we have in the political spectrum with Citizens United, whereby now you can have people literally donating tens of millions, actually unlimited amounts of money, and not have to disclose who you are. That is sabotaging our democracy. But the bottom line is this: one person, one vote. Okay? You can have the Koch brothers, and they can go out there and spend, you know, $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion on trying to sway the election. But the bottom line is this. They only get two votes, right? Each brother, one vote apiece. That's two votes, okay? That means that they can spend $100 million or $1 billion of their dollars trying to brainwash and propagandize the American public. But all it takes is three people to outdo what they just did, because there are only two votes. So the bottom line is this. Yes, the money's obscene. Here in Arizona, we have something called the Clean Elections Law, and that was actually voted in by the citizens of Arizona. And just to give you a quick view on this, and I'll get to the other callers, but under the Clean Elections Law here in Arizona, it was a citizens' initiative passed well over a decade ago, and what it does, it tries to take the dirty money out of politics. So if you run as a clean election candidate, there's several things you have to do. If it's a local office, a state office, say if you want to run for the House of Representatives or the Senate at the state level, you'd have to get something like around 200 signatures where people sign a form, say they endorse you as a clean election candidate, then they also have to donate $5. And if you get a valid 200 signatures, then you are eligible for a certain amount of money, okay, in that particular race. So say if you did it statewide for a governor, I think it roughly, the last time I checked, it was you would get about $600,000 or $700,000 to run your campaign, long as you qualified. But you're not allowed to take any other money from any other outside sources. And in Arizona, we have the majority of the citizens now actually are running as clean election candidates, okay? And that, to me, is a fundamental change, a seismic shift in the way that we do politics here in America, because it does take out all of that dirty money, and then basically candidates have equal funding, and then you compete on ideas. You compete on platforms. You compete on swaying voters with the merits of your policy, not on how much money you can spend on character assassinating your opponent. Okay, that's not the way the Founding Fathers had envisioned our democracy. If you go back to the Founding Fathers, they used to go into taverns back in the day in the 1700s, okay? And you would go into a tavern and you would have a robust, vibrant discussion about the issues of the day. And you go into churches and you get up on to the altar or the pedestal, and people can go and pontificate their views, and then the next person come in, and then they can pontificate their views, and you had people up in the galleries watching and applauding or booing or hissing. But that was a vibrant democracy where people spoke to people. Nowadays, it's all about air wars, all about raising the most money you can to basically character assassinate your opponents. And to me, that's not what a vibrant democracy is all about. All right, listen, we're going to go to a break right now. The phone lines are packed, but don't fear. We want you to call into Tom's Freedom Lines here at 1-866-987-THOM. That's 1-866-987-8466. Tom, and when we get back, we're going to get to your calls and hear what you have to say. So stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb subbing in today from Phoenix, Arizona, from 1480 KPHX, our flagship liberal progressive talk radio station here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to get to the callers here in one quick second, but during that break, I did hear Tom talking about free speech TV, and you can actually get a dinner with Tom in Washington, D.C. if you were to donate $2,000. And the reason I just wanted to mention this is I had the opportunity to meet Tom recently in California, and let me tell you something. Tom is a rare bird. Tom is a true defender of liberty and freedom in this country, and he lives, eats, breathes. Everything that you hear on the air is genuine. There's no spiel, there's no act. It's 100% authentic. And I got a chance, without having to pay $2,000, to meet Tom. But let me tell you something. It would be worth that money 10 times over if you got a chance to meet this individual, because let me tell you, if you sit down and you talk to Tom, he will affect you in ways that you really can't imagine. I mean, I sat down and had dinner with Tom and actually got to spend some time with him, and he's an incredible, incredible human being. And if America had more people like Tom, I'll tell you, this country would be so much better off. So if you do get a chance to do that for Free Speech TV and a dinner with Tom, I think he gave the number. It was 1-877-378-8669. Definitely do it. It'll be worth your investment. And Margaret Mead, I believe it was the one who once said that never let it be said that a small group of dedicated individuals could change the world, she says, because in essence, throughout history, those are the only ones who have. So if you could be touched, if your spirit could be uplifted, definitely check that out. Okay, so that being said, let's get back to the lines right now at 1-866-987-8466. And I believe first in the queue is we got a call here from Texas, somebody who disagrees with me, Eric. We like to have
disagreeers. Well, we get that a lot here locally in Phoenix. Mike.
Yes, in Phoenix, it is the epicenter of all things radical conservatives.
A lot of people disagree with you,
yes,
in the state.
Yes, I got a lot of people disagreeing here. So let's go first, I believe, to Tom here in, looks like, Mansfield, Texas. Let's see if that is correct. Tom, how are you there?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Every day's a blessing, Tom. Every day's a blessing.
That's the truth. And I don't disagree with you practically on anything, but the don't ask, don't tell analogy to slavery, I think, was wrong, because before I was in the military when don't ask, don't tell came out. And the days that I knew then, they weren't happy about it, but they knew it was better than nothing. And what we had before that was people would try to go find out that people were gay. Don't ask, don't tell came along, and they stopped doing that. So there was a little more peace. But if they found out you were gay, like you were openly gay, they could still kick you out of the military, but it was better than it was. I liken it to Obamacare. I like Obamacare, but it could be better. It's a stepping stone. It's baby steps. You understand what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, Tom, but I think there's two fundamental differences that you're talking about here. In one case, when you're talking about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, you're talking about a public policy issue that is, to me, fundamentally different than talking about somebody's basic human and civil rights that they should be afforded under our Constitution. Now, you can say with the Affordable Care Act that, you know, and I'm a physician as well, Tom, you could say, guess what? It goes a long way, and it does. There's incredible aspects of the Affordable Care Act that I just absolutely love. Could have it gone further with respect to a public option? Absolutely. But it didn't. But in that case, I would agree with you. It is definitely better to have something rather than nothing and then build upon that foundation. Now, that being said, when it comes to fundamental rights, though, Tom, that is a completely different ball of wax. I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the program, but I referenced back in the 1700s when people were enslaved, right? And you heard that part of it. But in order to sort of compromise, are you familiar with the three-fifths compromise?
It kind of rings a bell back to my history classes, but...
Basically what it was, Tom, was it was back then in the slave-owning days, in the early days of our nation's history, they came up with what was called the Three-Fifths Compromise, because back then slaves were slaves and they didn't even have a right to vote. So what they did was they came up with this compromise, and they said, okay, in order for slaves to have at least some representation, okay, we're going to give them three-fifths of a status. So if you were a slave owner and you had a bunch of slaves, you could take each one of them and add three-fifths plus three-fifths plus three-fifths, and that basically gave you what those slaves were equal to as a voting bloc. To me, that's wrong. I mean that's not what liberty and freedom is about. You either are free and liberated or you're not. And so that's what I'm saying about don't ask, don't tell, is that there's absolutely no reason to say if you're gay and you're in the military, we're going to give you three-fifths of the rights that a heterosexual soldier has. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do follow what you're saying. I agree with that. But I remember Clinton wanted to get them to have the right to be openly gay. But he wasn't going to get that from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They weren't going along with it like they do now.
No, I understand. But I guess my point is that public policy is different than fundamental rights. And when we have our Constitution and when you see that all men and women are created equally and they have the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, that's fundamental. That means 100%. And any time if it's even 1% that's not being held up, then we have a problem in America. Listen, I appreciate your call, Tom. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the next caller here, Eric. Let's see here. I think this is – I'm trying to see who's been holding the longest. I like to be fair about this.
You got a couple minutes. Just take your time.
Take your time. I always want to get everybody in. What is the thing that I often say? It's not the size of the feast, Eric. It's how many people you can invite to the table that matters, right?
All right.
That's what we want. We want to get everybody involved. That's when you know you have a vibrant democracy.
Well, now you have less than 2 minutes.
Well, and that's the problem, too. I get off on a tangent here. But that's the other problem in America, too, is that we don't really fundamentally respect our right to vote, Eric. We've talked about this before in the past, where you look at the Scandinavian countries, you look at Norway, you look
where
at Sweden.
Everybody loves to vote.
Everybody loves to vote. They get 95% plus voter turnout when they have national elections.
And what's the percentage rate here? It's pretty weak.
It's very weak. I mean, if you do a primary, okay, on an off-year election, in other words, it's not a presidential election, you might be lucky if you get 25% of people who are registered to vote. And that's not even eligible voters. That's just people who are registered to vote.
Well, we could go on about this, but we're
going to
break here.
All right, we're going on to a break. But listen, we're going to get back to the callers. I promise when we get back, 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. The good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in here live from Phoenix, Arizona, from 1480 KPHX, the Valley's Progressive Talk. And let's get right back to the callers. We got a full board of callers here. People are very anxious, Eric, to get on the phone here and have their say.
Yeah, you're something new. You're something different, Mike.
There you go. All right, well, let's go to... Who is this? I can't even...
Dude, I thought you had glasses.
I have my reading glasses. I didn't think I would need them today to come on the air. So, but I'm going to say it's Hollis from Leonard, Texas. Let's go to Hollis from Leonard, Texas, and see if I got that right. Hi, how are you, Hollis?
Well, I'm warm. I got my windows open in here in Texas. Fighting global warming the only way I can. Being a poor man, I just open the windows and don't use the air conditioner.
There you go. Now, where's Leonard, Texas? Where's that at?
It's in Fannin County.
Okay, where's Fannin County?
It's northeast of Dallas.
All right. Okay, northeast of Dallas. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I was listening to Tom yesterday, and he asked what evil was. And evil is when you put things you make above the nature itself and destroy life itself. You know, if you put anything above your neighbor, it doesn't matter whether it's a plant or whatever. You're doing evil.
No, well, look, I think you are doing evil. Let me just actually expound upon that, Hollis, and I'll let you get going here. But I agree with you, because when you start putting material things, okay, before human rights, then it's not the way nature is supposed to work. I mean, I'll give you an example. I've told this story, Eric, on the air, but you've heard this about how every human being is unique. Every human being is special. Yes, but it's true, because it might fundamentally change the way you think about things. Because as a physician, look, we learned back in medical school that, you know, when a man ejaculates, right, millions of sperm are released. Each one of those sperm are unique, potentially unique individuals, right? A woman actually ovulates each month, and she ovulates a unique egg, okay? Millions and millions and millions of sperm actually go for that one egg, okay? The first sperm that gets to that egg, think of the egg, it's round, okay? And what happens is once that first sperm gets in there, the egg secretes chemicals around the outside. It's called the zona pellucida. And it basically creates a fortress so that once the first sperm gets in, nobody else can get in after that, okay? So if you really think about that, that means every one of you, if you're listening to this program right now, if you're driving down the road, if you happen to be at work at the water cooler, every single one of you won that race, okay? Which means every single one of you is a gold medal winner. Every one of you is a gold medal winner. So it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter. Of the 6 billion-plus people that exist on this earth right now, everybody is a gold medal winner. Everybody won that race. So if you ever get down, if you ever get out, if you ever get a little bit depressed, your day's not going the way you thought it, you wanted to go, you didn't get the job you wanted, you didn't get the raise you wanted, you tried a relationship, it didn't work out, you just look in the mirror and you say, guess what? I am a gold medal winner. The odds of you coming into existence, ever coming into existence, it's not 1,000,000 to 1. It's not 1,000,000,000 to 1. It's not even 1,000,000,000,000 to 1. It's a number that is unfathomable. Because when you think about it, that one sperm out of millions got there first, and that one egg at that one time, at that precise moment in the month of the year, that's when you were created. And that's when each of us was created uniquely. So you're all gold medal winners. Be proud of that. Embrace life. Live in the moment, because that's all you're ever given. I'm a physician. I do a lot of work with hospice, end-of-life care, people who have less than 6 months or less to live. And my philosophy always has been to those individuals, don't let anyone put a time frame on your life. Even if it's estimated at 6 months or less, any of us could be gone in a blink of an eye. So we have to cherish the moment, live in the moment, realize that you're a gold medal winner, and just move forward and do your best to celebrate that gift of life with all the other gold medal winners that are out there. Including conservative Republicans, though. I think they're more silver and bronze, but...
It's like the Life Olympics.
Yes, it's the Olympics of life, Eric. Absolutely. All right, let's get back to the callers. Let's see. Next in the queue, I believe, is Jerry on the line from Long Island. He's been holding for quite some time. Jerry, welcome to the table.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah, on the gay marriage issue, I agree with much of what you say. I especially agree when you say the Democrats need to stand up more on progressive issues. And I think that's true regardless of whether we're talking about gun control or talking about the gay marriage issue we're talking about today. But, and this is a very important but to me, action speaks louder than words. And for instance, let me give you an analogy. Just imagine if President Lyndon Johnson back in the 1960s, instead of doing what he did with respect to civil rights legislation for African Americans, suppose instead of doing that and getting that passed, suppose he simply said that although he supports the civil rights African Americans, he thinks the issue should be left to the states. And this, unfortunately, in my opinion, is what the position of President Obama and far too many other Democrats is with respect to the gay marriage issue. They say they support it, but then they're unwilling to support legislation. They think it's adequate just simply to let DOMA expire or be repealed. But to me, that doesn't go far enough. Because if you leave it up to the states, like South Carolina and these other states,
I agree. Jerry, let me respond to that. I'm going to let you get going, but I agree 100% with Jerry in the sense that this is something that gets me all the time. It gets me so agitated, so upset when I hear this whole states' right issue that's basically bandied about by Republicans and conservatives. It's ridiculous because you don't delegate fundamental rights, fundamental human rights and civil rights to the states. That's why we had a civil war in this country. That's why this democracy that we know today as it exists almost became extinct, because you had back in the day states' writers, people who believed that individuals had a right to own slaves, to oppress individuals, to oppress fellow human beings for their own economic advantage. There is no such thing as states' rights when it comes to human rights, okay? So if somebody is gay and they want to be respected in the workplace and not discriminated against based off of their sexual being of who they are, then guess what? That shouldn't be delegated to the states. It's not. There's nothing in our Constitution gives the states a right to discriminate against your liberty and freedom. If two gay individuals want to get married, okay, then they have a right to do that. It shouldn't be relegated to the states. The federal government should support those rights, just like with interracial marriages. Back in the day, it wasn't allowed. It was against the law to interracially marry. So what are we going to say? Oh, that should be delegated to the states? Bull crap. I mean, fundamental rights enshrined in our Constitution and our founding documents are fundamental, which means they should never, ever, ever be infringed upon. That's why I was adamantly against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's why I'm adamantly against the Defense of Marriage Act, because according to our constitutions, those are God-given rights. Okay, they're rights that every individual citizen has, and they shall not ever be infringed upon. But you'll have conservatives and Republicans trying to throw out that states' rights issue, and it just doesn't fly, my friends. You cannot invoke states' rights with respect to that. And if you really go back to the founding of this country, you go back to the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, okay, back in the day. I mean, the Anti-Federalists were really the states' rights people. I mean, the Federalists were the ones who believed in a strong central government, okay? The Federalists were the ones who believed in the Constitution as it existed and as ultimately it was embraced. It was the states' rights people, the Anti-Federalists, who basically didn't get what they want. And from that moment on, states' rights people have been trying to rear their ugly heads, and fortunately, we've seen democracy and the rule of law and the Constitution survive thus far. But make no mistake about it, there is a full frontal assault on individual liberty and individual freedom in this country, and is being spearheaded by radical conservative Republicans who are getting more and more seats at local offices, at state legislatures, in the federal government, in the United States Congress. And if you don't stand up now, and if you don't fight for those rights, then one day you will live in an autocratic society where Big Bubba government actually rules every aspect of your life. It's going to be like George Orwell in 1984. If you haven't read that book, I read that about within the last year, reread it. I'll tell you, chilling, absolutely chilling, because everything in that book, 1984, George Orwell, about an invasive, intrusive overarching government that controls every aspect of your life, that's the Republican Party today. That's who the Republican Party is today. That's what they want to do with your life. They want to control you. If they can control your liberty and your freedoms, then they know they will ultimately remain in power and get what they want. All right, Eric, let's get back to the freedom lines here. Let's see. Next on the line is Melody from Pittsburgh. Let's go to Melody from my home state of Pennsylvania. How are you, Melody?
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Kansas. You're in Kansas. It's Pittsburgh, Kansas.
To the Tom Hartman program. Down in the southeast corner.
Oh, hello?
Stand how a government or any agency has should have any opinion on anybody's sexual proclivities.
All right, hey, do me a favor. Hold on right now. I think we're up against the break here, and I'll get right back to you, okay?
Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news, ain't that news.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb subbing in for Tom today, and we are broadcasting from the Valley's Progressive Talk here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, 1480, the Hot Valley, 1480 KPHX, and we're going to get to the callers in a quick second. I know we're talking about this whole concept of individual liberty and freedom, and it was all sparked by John Nichols' article about the Democratic Party actually embracing as part of its platform in this upcoming Democratic National Convention the platform of equality for all, and in particular, marriage equality for gay individuals. So I think this is a critical crossroads for the American people, and the fact that the Democratic Party is willing to do that I think is phenomenal. But that being said, let me just show you again. This is a very sad statistic. This is something that I had seen, probably about a few weeks ago. But there was a study, Eric. It said 40% of homeless youth are LGBT. 40%.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why it is, because they actually did a study about this. But the leading cause is family rejection. It's their own family.
Kicking them out of the home.
Basically kicking them out of the home.
Wow, I mean, how could you do that to your kid?
I know. It's your kid. Look, it goes back to what I said earlier about the gold medal winner, right? It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, Democrat, Republican, independent, atheist, Christian. Everybody's a gold medal winner. Everybody won that sperm race. So everybody should have a chance to be free and liberated, okay? But in this particular case, it's horrible to be homeless, right? I mean, it's horrible.
Well, it's even worse because your parents rejected you.
Right.
Regardless, it's horrible.
It's horrible. But to say 40% of homeless youth are homeless because of who they are as a human being is, to me, a sad testament to where we are as a society and as a species. I mean, the fact that you would kick out your own biological offspring because they happen to be who they are.
You loved up until you found out they were gay.
Right, exactly. To me, is unconscionable. But these are the top five reasons why LGBT youth are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless based off of this study. Ran away because of family rejection of sexual orientation or gender identity, 46%. Forced out by parents because of sexual orientation or gender identity, 43%. Physical, emotional, or sexual abuse at home, 32%. Aged out of the foster care system, 17%. And financial or emotional neglect from family, 14%. So to me, Eric, that is so sad to hear that these young kids who have their whole lives ahead of them, a life of possibility, lives of dreaming, of becoming whatever you want to become, and you can't do that because you have family members emotionally abusing you, physically abusing you, denying you financial aid, kicking you out of the home. And these kind of behaviors that are driving these youth to homelessness are the kind of behaviors, Eric, that the Republican Party and conservatives in this country want to institutionalize and codify into law. Because when you have a don't ask, don't tell policy, when you have a Defense of Marriage Act, okay, or amendment or whatever, when you try to separate out gay individuals as something separate and distinct from normal, and I say that in quotation marks, heterosexual people, then you are laying the groundwork for this type of familial disenfranchisement. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when it becomes accepted public policy, then obviously the family members are going to say, hey, well, you know what? The military does it. You know, the military says you can't be gay in the military. Then, damn it, my son, he's not going to be in the military, you know, because he's gay. You know, when you have the federal government through the Defense of Marriage Act basically condoning institutionalized discrimination, then what makes you think that family members aren't going to discriminate against their loved ones when they see local governments and federal governments doing as such? So this is why I think it is so critical that Democrats and progressives across the country, across the world, unite and unite in defense of liberty and freedom for all of God's children, okay, for everyone, okay? So that being said, let's get back to the callers there. We got a lot of people who've been holding an inordinately long time, but God bless their perseverance.
Patient people.
They're very patient people. Okay, let's go next to, I think, John on the line from Santa Cruz. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So personally, I'm just a little concerned that, you know, I feel like, you know, I've done a lot of sign pounding and protesting over the years, and I feel like I was let down by Obama really bad, and I feel like these issues that we talk about are the few issues where the two candidates are different, and otherwise they're just so similar that we never get a chance to talk about real policy, because we get the media wants these two candidates to be different so they can pit them against one another. But the problem is
there's fundamental differences between these two candidates. Make no mistake about it. They are not the same candidates. I mean, fundamentally night and day when it comes to Obama and Mitt Romney.
Sir, I wish I could agree with you. My problem is that, you know, I'm a participant, and I feel as though...
What do you think is the same about them? Tell me what you think are the same.
Where they're the same? The same?
Okay. Yeah, what's the same about Obama and Romney?
Is an Obama appointee. And in my estimation, Tom Vilsack was the one person on the planet who we needed to be protected from.
No, forget about that, Tom Vilsack. What I'm saying is on policy issues, okay, gay marriage, is Obama for it? Is Obama for or against it?
Excuse me?
Gay marriage, is Obama for or against it?
See, I was hoping we could talk about a different issue.
All right, listen, I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate your call. So, I mean, I can't stand when they say they're the same candidates, Eric. They're not the same candidates.
They're not even close.
They're completely different. I mean, Obama's for gay marriage, Romney's against it. Obama's for tax cuts for 98% of the American people, Romney's against it, okay? Obama's for the Affordable Care Act and affordable health care for all of America's citizens, Romney's against it. I mean, I can go on and on and on. There are fundamentally major differences between the two candidates. So anybody who thinks that these two candidates are the same, you know, you're smoking something, okay? Because there is something different about these candidates, okay? And the direction of this country depends on who you choose to lead this country. And if you think there are no differences, then you need to get on the internet, you need to talk more, and you need to listen to the Tom Hartman Show. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb here filling in for Tom Hartman today. We're broadcasting live from Phoenix, Arizona, on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX. It's amazing, Eric, that we even have a progressive talk show here, a station, actually.
Well, thanks to you, Mike.
Well,
I mean, you were the guy who brought this format to Arizona, or to Phoenix anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but a lot of people...
You've been credited with that.
That's okay. I don't like to take credit for things.
Come on.
It's always... It takes a village, as Hillary Clinton is wont to say. But in any case, Eric, it's interesting because we are at the epicenter of radical conservatism. I mean, if you look at every one of our state offices here, all the way from governor down to the mine inspector, all Republicans. You look at the governor, Republican. You look at the House of Representatives at the state level, supermajority Republicans. You look at the Senate, supermajority of Republicans in the Senate. So we are absolutely controlled by conservative Republicans.
Our governor is crazy Republican.
Yeah, everybody knows
and
our governor.
Look at Russell Pierce. He's making a comeback, too. Oh, my God.
It's insane. But but it really irks me, like, when the last caller was like, oh, there's not much difference between Obama and Mitt Romney or between the Democrats and Republicans. That is so far from the truth. I mean, there are fundamental differences between the two parties right now.
I think what he meant, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I think what he meant was that politicians are politicians. I think that's what he was getting at.
Yeah, but going back to our initial conversation with John Nichols from The Nation and talking about human rights, okay, that's where I think there is a big difference. Look, Eric, let me just give this story, then I'll get to the callers. If you want to call in right now, the phone lines are packed, but as somebody gets off the Freedom Express, you can get right back on at 866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 866-987-8466. But just to highlight a quick difference here from the local side of things, Eric, remember what happened with the transplant patients?
Yeah, when they revoked all their
If ever money. There could be something that – look, you want to talk about a stark contrast in the way you look at the world, in the way that you see the world, okay, the way that public policy – is implemented. I will tell you very quickly about what happened here in Arizona. We have what's called ACCESS. It's called the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, AHCCCS, something like that, Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. That's our Medicaid program. And Medicaid, as you all know, is for people who are, in general, poor, disabled, you know, don't have the financial wherewithal to really afford healthcare on their own. So it's a great program. It's widespread. About 1.25 million people in this state are actually on ACCESS, which comprises about 25% of our population, roughly. So we all know there's budget deficits right now, and quite frankly, those budget deficits I blame on conservative fiscal policy that basically bankrupted state and federal coffers, okay? These individuals were on ACCESS. They qualified. Now, there was about 100 people who actually had terminal diseases, okay, and organ failure. So there were people whose hearts weren't working anymore.
And we're not talking about people who ate themselves into diabetes and heart
conditions. No, no.
We're talking about people who just had, illness.
No, people who just through acts of nature, through, bad luck.
Genetics
happened to have really terrible diseases that were going to kill them, okay? So in certain cases, people needed a new heart. They had a cardiomyopathy. The heart wasn't pumping like the way it should as a pump. And they were only putting out like 10% of what a normal heart would historically pump out. Some of these people had leukemia. Their bone marrows were destroyed. They couldn't make cells to make oxygen-carrying cells. They couldn't fight infections. It goes on and on, okay? These people needed organ transplants, whether it was a new heart, whether it was new lung because of cystic fibrosis, whether it was a bone marrow transplant because of leukemia. They either got the transplant or they would face a certain death. So our ACCESS system, Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, these 100 people had to go through a rigorous vetting process, okay? Not anybody can get on a transplant list. So they went through a litany of tests, and ultimately these 100 patients were deemed worthy and stable enough to, if through God's graces, they were actually able to get a donor, they would get the transplant and the state would cover those costs. Okay? Well, the Republican conservative legislature enters stage right now. Okay? They say, oh, guess what? We're broke. Our state is broke and we just can't afford to pay for these things anymore. Now, granted, okay, it only cost about $1.2 million to keep them on the transplant list until such time that a donor might become available, which was a pittance compared to our hundreds of millions and billion-dollar state budget. So Republicans across the board said, guess what? Even though we guaranteed you this benefit, even though you were given a lifeline here and now you have potential to get a transplant, we're cutting you off. We're basically cutting you off, and we don't give a damn what happens to you because we're not going to pay for it anymore. Now, not only did they do that, our governor, Jan Brewer, on top of that, gave a $450 million tax cut plus, okay, to small businesses to, quote-unquote, spur the economy. In addition, our governor, Jan Brewer, actually gave, I think it was a grant, Eric, like $2 million or something dollars for algae research. Okay? So here you got the governor saying it's more important to give tax breaks and cuts, you know, to millionaires, and it's more important to support, you know, algae research than to give that $1.2 million to keep these people on the list and save their lives. So they literally cut these people off of the funding. So locally, we here on 1480 KPHX, amongst many other people in the community,
we hammered it every day.
We hammered at it day in and day out, day in and day out. And the Democratic state legislators did a phenomenal job. Two people running for Congress right now, David Shapiro, he's the a senator, and also former state senator Kirsten Sinema. They were stalwart defenders of liberty and freedom and fighting for the lives of these people. Well, sad to say, it took quite some time to get the public aware of what was really happening. And in the interim, we know of at least three, maybe five or six people that were on that list of 100 who ultimately succumbed to their illness. They ultimately died. Okay? So, but it took 6 months for the governor and the Republican-controlled state legislature to ultimately reverse course amidst all this public rancor, this outcry. How could you do this? These are fellow human beings. This is not a political issue. It's not a Democrat versus a Republican issue. But conservative Republicans be damned, they were not going to pay for the health care of these people who were literally going to die if they didn't get the health care that they needed. So ultimately, the governor reversed her decision. The funding was restored. Multiple people died in the process. Other families had to go through great strife, incredible emotional distress. But ultimately, the people prevailed. But my point to you is this. Anytime somebody tells you that there's no difference between the political parties, you tell them to give Dr. Mike Newcomb a call, and I will tell them what happened when the lives of innocent human beings, through no fault of their own, through genetics and bad physiology, happened to have organs that didn't work anymore, and the Republicans sentenced these people to death by revoking that funding and taking them off the list, and they know it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars ultimately to get a transplant. They sentenced these people to death. So when you hear Sarah Palin and you hear all these other far-right fanatical conservatives talking about the Affordable Care Act and quote-unquote death panels, I can assure you, death panels do exist. They absolutely exist. They were not lying when they said that in our healthcare system there was a threat of death panels. The problem with what they were saying is that those death panels were created by the Republican state legislatures, implemented by the Republican state legislatures, and guess what? They executed people by withdrawing the care. So there are fundamental differences between Democrats and Republicans. Make no mistake about it. 15 minutes after the hour, we're back in a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Show, the good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb. That's me, sitting in today for Tom. And we're broadcasting from 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, Eric. The Valley's Progressive Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You can check us out, too, right? Don't we have a Facebook page?
Yeah, 1480. Just go to Facebook.com, of course, and look up 1480 Official, 1480 KPHX Official.
Or you can go to 1480KPHX.com
and click on
the link. All right. Fair enough. All right, well, in any case, look, let's get back to the listeners right now. If you want to participate, Tom's got some very loyal and patient callers, Eric, because I got people here like been holding for like an hour.
Well, don't let them wait any longer, Mike.
I know. I'm trying.
Let's hear what they've got to say.
I'm trying to get to them. 866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 866-987-8466. All right, let's go first to Fort Worth, Texas. We got Matt on the line. He's ex-military, and he wants to talk about being gay. What's up, Matt?
Well, I'm just, instead of wasting all this energy on trying to redefine marriage, shouldn't we be educating these people that homosexuality is not an appropriate choice to live your lifestyle?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a fine choice.
And who is he to even come up with that?
Yeah, well, let me ask you, why do you think it's a bad choice, Matt, honestly?
Well, number one, I mean, if you look all around in nature, two of the same species can't procreate. I mean, there's got to be a reason for that, unless you're, you know, like maybe in a one-celled amoeba or something like that.
Well, that's not true, actually, Matt. I mean, as a doctor, I can tell you you're not really on target with that. And besides, you know, you don't need a man and a woman, actually. All you need is sperm and a uterus. So quite frankly, if the women get disenchanted with you, Matt, they can actually get rid of all the men on the earth and just have a sperm bank and harvest the sperm and then just artificially inseminate. So quite frankly, women don't even need men biologically.
Well, I mean, but what I'm saying is we need to educate them that, you know, homosexuality is not an appropriate choice to live your life. I mean,
I disagree. I don't understand why you're making that point. Are you, because if your argument is just simply from a reproductive perspective, then, you know, what do you do, let's say, for instance, somebody who can't procreate? Say somebody is impotent. Say somebody just can't do it. A woman can't make an egg or a guy can't make the sperm. Does that mean that they should not be able to marry then?
No, no. I didn't say that. I said that homosexuality is an inappropriate choice, and we should be educating people to realize that.
I know, but you said homosexuality is not a good choice because they can't procreate. And I just basically proved to you that you don't need to be heterosexual to necessarily procreate. So now I guess my second question to you is, do you think that the homosexual lifestyle is somehow offensive, or that it is it bad for society? Like, what's bad about it that's different from heterosexuals?
Yeah, I do find it offensive.
Why?
I think it is, well, number one, I think it's pretty gross and disgusting. Okay, that's just me on a personal level. Mm-hmm. On a religious level, it's entirely wrong. You know, it's very clear in the scriptures that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Well, that says you. That doesn't mean that necessarily that's going to be the case. I mean, you don't think God loves all people?
Well, he didn't say he didn't love them. He said,
well, what's
if you choose that lifestyle, you're not going to make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well, God also says that I think if you divorce, you're not going to make it to heaven either. Are you for a federal amendment to ban divorce?
Say that. He does not say that.
Hey, I know this for a fact. I was brought up Catholic. My mom was no longer able to accept communion. They didn't even want her in the church once she was divorced.
Right. So you're basically saying this off of religious grounds then? Why
and
it's a
personal
bit.
And you know, nature itself.
But what about nature? I have family members who are gay. I have friends who are gay. They're no different than anyone else. I mean, do you think if I were to put seven people in the lineup and one of them was gay, you could pick them out of the lineup?
In nature, you have male and female to procreate the species in almost everything. Like I said, except for some of your...
Yeah, but what about, I asked you earlier and you didn't answer the question, what about if two people were, or one person was impotent and they couldn't do that? I mean, can't they adopt then?
Sure.
Right? So why can't two gay individuals then just adopt and bring up a child and love them? Are you against gay adoption too?
That choice, yes, very much. That choice of lifestyle is not appropriate.
So you don't believe in individual liberty and freedom, then, is what you're saying. You're not really a patriot. You don't believe in the Constitution. You're more like the people in Iran.
I very much believe in the Constitution. I'm saying that we should be educating people, hey, this is not an appropriate choice.
But a lot of people disagree with you. It's, a lot of people think it's a good choice. And there's lots of gay people who are married now because it's legal in certain states. They're raising children. They're adopting children. They're giving love and kindness and care and empathy and, you know, what's offensive to you about that?
Smoking's not illegal, but we sure are spending a lot of money to educate people. Hey, this is not a good choice for you.
All right, so then I would make an argument. I'm going to get the other calls here, but what do you think about the fact that 50% of the people who get married today heterosexually get divorced within 5 years?
Marriage, that's very unfortunate.
But if it's such a great institution and God's blessed it, you know, why is it failing?
I don't know. You would have to ask those people.
I know, but you're not gay, right?
No. I'm not a homosexual. Gay is a term that they used back in the 70s to take the sting out of it to try and make it more publicly acceptable. It is homosexual.
What are you then? If you're not gay, what are you?
What it is. Excuse me? Excuse
me? If you're not gay, then what are you?
I'm normal.
Ah, I got you. I got you. All right, well, Matt, I hate to inform you, though, and I am a physician, internal medicine physician, and I don't think you're normal. I think you have some issues that you need to work out, but hopefully through the grace of God, you'll be touched and enlightened and not touched by a gay person, but just, I mean, touched by the Spirit. So good luck. Okay, well, there you have it. Matt from Texas.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to win that state. I think that's one we might have to write off, Eric. I don't think it's quite at the battleground status yet with people like Matt. But
Arizona and Texas are very
yes.
similar.
All right, 27 after the hour. Back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. The good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in today for Tom. And we appreciate everybody participating in today's Freedom Fest, as we like to call it, the Freedom Express. Eric, it is alive and running along and chugging along right now.
Hey, I want to say something real quick, Mike. That guy says he's offended by gay people.
Right.
I take offense at that guy, to be perfectly honest. I work with a lot of gay people. And I want to know what that guy does for his community, because here in Phoenix, the gay community is very into the community, and they really get out there, and they really do a lot of stuff, and they do it on their own time. They don't ask for money. They don't ask for anything. They just want to go out and help people. I want to know what that guy does for his community.
Well, that was the most startling thing of his whole discourse there, the fact that he said, well, homosexuality did that to try to take the sting out of it. And so I said, well, then what are you? And I was hoping he was going to say heterosexual, but no, he said he's normal.
That was a better answer than heterosexual.
Oh, God.
I mean,
and you know,
just to show what kind of person
he is so far from normal, it's unbelievable. I mean, and that's the problem. Look, we've talked about Republicans and conservatives, that they are really divorced from the reality-based community. I mean, they live in this fantasy world, and they think that what their reality is really exists outside of them, and it doesn't. It's in psychiatry, okay? You have a thing called egocentric and egodystonic. Just not to get too technical, but somebody who is like egocentric is like a narcissist. Like,
right.
You know what? They're so full of themselves. And,
egocentric.
You know, they're egocentric, and they don't even realize, you know, that their behaviors are abnormal. Versus, like, say somebody who's obsessive compulsive. That's called egodystonic, which means that their behaviors affect them, that they know what they're doing, but they know it's wrong. They know that, like, but they just can't stop it. That's
right.
So to me, conservatives and Republicans are egocentric. They have no clue that they have some type of personality disorder. I really think eventually that as psychiatry evolves, they're going to include this in the classification. Like, being a conservative is going to be an actual disease, like a psychiatric illness that's along with obsessive compulsive, you know, it's psychoaffective, schizophrenic, and there's going to be something that says conservative. And eventually it's going to happen because the science is there. This guy is so abnormal. And look, my heart goes out to him. Look, I could go and say, you know, what a heathen you are, or, you know, you're such a bigot, and get really angry at him. But let's adopt the Jesus approach. I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. I think the guy is misled. He's misinformed. And we often say on our show, Eric, about Shakespeare, methinks
thou dost protest too much.
Protesteth too much. And oftentimes it's the individuals who protest the loudest are the ones who are guilty of the very same behaviors that they condemn themselves.
Right.
We saw that with, who was it? Reverend Ted Haggard.
Many of those
Yeah,
people.
Many of them are. But remember Ted Haggard? Reverend Ted Haggard,
course,
the guy
yeah.
who was the head of the Evangelical Association
right.
of, you know, America?
He was the guy that was getting gay boys off of a website or something.
Well, no.
That
he was
a different guy.
He was the preacher who would get up every Sunday and on the pulpit and talk about the Bible sin of homosexuality. How's the Bible sin? And then, after he was done his service, he would meet with an adult man and have hot gay sex at some undisclosed hotel. And don't forget, Eric, the methamphetamine
right.
that was involved, too,
right,
so
right.
that he can heighten that hot
and
sexual gay experience.
And guess where he moved after he was ousted from his church?
Where did he move?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, did he? But that wasn't before he was de-gayified, though, right? Didn't he go through de-gayification?
I think he did that out here.
Yes, right. Yes. And was he 100% de-gayified, or was
he
there
said
like...
He was. No, there was a documentary on just recently, and I kind of felt sorry for the guy after what he'd been through because of that whole thing. And if he'd just come out and said, I'm gay in the first place,
right,
none of this would have happened.
Yeah, well, anyway, he went under de-gayification, and I wonder if it's like cancer. Like he's like 95% cured of gayness, but he still has like 5% lurking somewhere in his body that... He has to undergo, like, gay chemotherapy to get rid of, like, the 5% that's remaining?
No, I really did feel sorry for the guy, all the stuff he had to go through because of that. And, you know, I mean, he didn't have to go through it. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to the callers here. Let's see. First up in the queue, let's go to Jeff on the line from San Francisco. And he's got a Harvey Milk quote, which I'm sure the other guy, Matt from Texas, was not going to give us any.
I hate that.
He wasn't going to give us any Harvey Milk quotes. I don't even know if Matt from Texas knows who Harvey Milk is.
He probably doesn't.
All right, Jeff, welcome to the table.
Hey, thanks. Well, you know, one of the greatest things Harvey did was he knew how to use politics, and he got the Teamsters to hire gay men, or it might have been women, too, as Teamsters, so they would boycott, like, Coors Beer. Because they wouldn't hire union workers and all the bars. So I think we've got a powerful thing there if we'd put that to work.
Sure. What's the Harvey Milk quote that you have?
Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of lost it. But he was just talking about it. Basically, the cities are the place where it's got to start. And if there's nothing for the, it doesn't matter. You got to make things locally because if people don't have enough money to buy products, that doesn't matter if they're made here or in Japan. So I'm sorry I lost that.
I thought you were going to give the quote that it says, there ain't nothing like hot gay sex.
No. He was all about, you know, and this is back in 1977. He said the American dream starts with the neighborhoods.
Exactly. Did you like the movie with Sean Penn?
Oh, it was great. And, you know, I've kind of been mired right now in the Pitt versus Pitt controversy, if you heard that. Brad Pitt's mom wrote the article to the Springfield a newspaper saying that we should all vote for Romney because he's for family values and against Obama. And I guess there's a little rift between Angelina and her now.
What she doesn't know, though, Jeff, is the fact that, you know, when you say family, that's what the gay community calls themselves. We're family, right? That they say, hey, it's family. So they are family values. All right, listen, I got to get the other calls. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, that's Jeff over there. Hey, listen, we have Julia, who's on the line from Tucson, and she's been holding on for an hour and a half, Eric.
Wow.
So let's go to Julia because she deserves it. And plus, she's in our home state. How could we not get our hometown people on the line first?
Absolutely.
Julia, how are you? Julia?
Sleep while she was waiting.
I know. Are you there, Julia? All right, we're going to have to drop her there because I thought she was on for an hour and a half. God, she's so impatient. She could have waited, you know, at least an hour and a half for her to get on. All right, let's get back to some of the other callers here. Let's see. Let me see who's holding the longest. We got Gary. He's on the line from Springfield, Missouri. Also over an hour there. Gary, thank you for your perseverance and patience.
You're very welcome, and I'm so glad to talk to you. Brad Pitt used to get erections in the shower watching other boys shower at Kickapoo High School.
All right, I don't know. I'm gonna drop Let's you there, Gary. I'm gonna drop you right there because first of all, we don't even know if that's true, and secondly,
yeah, how would this guy know that?
I don't know.
And what was the point anyway?
See what happens when you wait too long? I think your oxygen gets deprived from your brain and start coming
Maybe
up with some...
needed something to eat or
tangential thinking. Yeah, I think his glucose was pretty low there. See, that's the other thing. That's the beauty of having a doctor as a talk show host. You can actually make some diagnoses over the air, Eric.
You're pretty good if you can do that, Mike.
Yeah, we've done like 3 diagnoses already.
We do that
today.
Every week.
All right, let's go next to the next caller at 1-866-987-TOM. That's T-H-O-M. 1-866-987-8466. Let me see here. Who do I want to go to next? Let's go to John. How about John from Minneapolis? Okay, John from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Senator Al Franken resides. What's up, John?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think the Republican Party is the most anti-life party that can today that you can imagine. And the reason that I say that is that they are like stuck in the 19th century. They fail to recognize any of the strides that were made during the New Deal. They fail to recognize that every other civilized country in the world has national health of some sort, and everyone is covered. And I thought it was really interesting in, you know, that England was the first country to have the Industrial Revolution, and they picked New Jerusalem, and, you know, they portrayed working people who suffered during the Industrial Revolution, and working people today and middle-class people today are suffering as a result of the policies of the Republican Party all around the world. Just this morning, I heard that $17 trillion is being offshored. And the problem with Republicans is that they think that they actually created that wealth when it was the people. This is the work of a nation that has been squandered and taken from the rest of us. And it's just abominable. But this is why in this society, why particularly, why people are treated as material things, because the leaders of our society treat people this way.
Well, you know what's interesting about that materialism? I saw something, a quote just recently, to the effect that, do you know that the human species is the only species that actually has to pay rent or a mortgage to live on Earth, that every other species on Earth doesn't have to pay something to live here?
They are very anti-life.
I agree with you. Hey, listen, the only thing that I take exception with you is that you said that the Republicans are stuck in the 19th century, and I would have to respectfully disagree. I think they are stuck in the Neanderthal times. All right. Thank you very much there. All right, listen, are we coming up against a break here?
We sure are.
I hear the music here. That means we're coming up. All right, listen, the Freedom Express is pulling up to its final stop, its final destination for the day. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman right now. We are going to get to your final thoughts as we close out the program, so stick with us. We still got a full board of callers, so you could be one of the lucky ones. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. This is our final segment for today, and we appreciate everybody who participated in today's program. It doesn't matter, as I said, if you're from the left or the right, if you're Democrat, Republican, if you're Green Party, Libertarian Party, no party, if you happen to be Christian, Jew, Mormon, Catholic, atheist, it doesn't matter. Everybody always on a progressive radio show should always get a say. So we welcome all types of comments, all types of participation. That's the way talk radio was meant to be.
Especially if you're normal.
Especially if you're normal, absolutely. So we appreciate everybody for calling in today. Also, if you want to send me an email, I forgot to give you my email, if you want to just reach out or had any questions or medical questions, anything, just give me a email shout out at mike@mikenewcomb.net. That's mike@mikenewcomb.net, and Newcomb is just like old brush of Newcomb, N-E-W-C-O-M-B. So you can check us out there, or check us out on our local website, 1480kphx.com. That's where we broadcast locally here in Phoenix, Arizona, in the lion's den, the hornet's nest of radical conservatism. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about our state and our crazy Governor Jan Brewer and our crazy state legislature, and I'm sure Tom will talk about more of that in the future. So that being said, let's get to the last few callers before we conclude today's program. And let's go first. Eric, we've talked a lot about homosexuality today, and I'd be remiss if we didn't at least have one real live gay person come on.
Oh, we have gay callers coming?
We have a gay caller right now.
Awesome.
His name is David, and he's from Houston. And let's get David on the line. David?
Hi, Dr. Newcomb. I am was responding to the gentleman who had called earlier. Gay is not a choice. It is we are born, we're special, we're creatures of God, and gay people add so much light to the world in creativity And he obviously doesn't have any friends that are gay because he would know the difference.
Hey, I am 100% with you, David. My wife has many, many gay friends. I have gay friends. You know, I actually met my wife at a gay bar.
Well, that's all I wanted to add. I thank you for your show.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, anyway, I'll have to go over that story some other time, but we got a lot of callers here. But I actually did meet my wife. She told me to meet her one time when we were in Tucson. She says, you know, wasn't my wife yet. I was barely
you
dating.
You weren't hanging
her.
Out there or anything?
No, I wasn't hanging out there. And then what ended up happening, she goes, well, come meet me. I'm going out with some friends. And lo and behold, I go to the bar where she tells me to meet her, and she's got a bunch of friends there. But as I'm walking into the parking lot, there are clearly guy after guy after guy. And I'm there with a colleague of mine, a fellow resident in Tucson. And as we walk in, it becomes readily apparent that we are now in a gay bar. So I kid you not, my friend then grabs me by the arm, and he holds me very close to him and acts as though we're a couple.
He's getting into it.
Right. He's like, he's totally play acting, but I'm like, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable now. I was like, no, I'm meeting this, you know, woman here, or I want to date and all. Don't do this. And as soon as he actually grabs me and pulls me close to him, somebody from the hospital comes up. Dr. Newcomb, doctor, I didn't know. And I'm like, no, I'm not gay. Not that I'm against it or anything, but I'm not gay. I'm not with this guy. I'm here to meet a woman.
Thou dost protest it too much.
Right. And so, and he's like, yeah, sure, Dr. Newcomb, you're here to meet, you know, a woman. And lo and behold, there was my wife-to-be on the stage being sandwiched with two guys with their shirts off, dancing, bumping and grinding. And that's kind of where we had one of our first dates.
Well, and you know very well that my girlfriend, Kathleen, mm-hmm. is the new chairperson for the Phoenix, the Greater Phoenix Gay and Lesbian Chamber.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, this guy, Matt from Texas, he needs to get a gay friend. I mean, he needs to adopt a gay friend, and maybe his life will be changed. Can we do that? Can we actually start an organization called Adopt a Gay Friend for bigots?
I guess that would be up to those gay people if they want to do that.
Yeah, I think that would enlighten the world. All right, let's go next. Let's see who's been holding the longest here. I want to get the people who have been holding the longest, Eric. It looks like Randy on the line here from Smock, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Randy,
good afternoon,
to the
Mike. You happened to touch on one person, one vote concept when your show began, and I agree with that completely. My question is, how can this be realized as long as the Electoral College is justified? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question here, and I kind of struggle with the whole concept of whether or not one vote, one person should trump the Electoral College, but, you know,
I think it should.
Yeah, well, because the problem with the Electoral College, and I thought a lot about this, and we don't have a lot of time to go into any depth or detail, but if you really think about it, Eric, because of the Electoral College, that's what's created really these, what are called the battleground states now, because they know that if you can get 50% plus one vote in a battleground state, you win all the electoral votes, which means that you don't have to go campaign in other states.
Right.
Versus if it was one vote, one person, and no electoral college, that would force the candidates to really campaign where they thought they can canvass or get the most votes possible. So they won't just skip states,
well,
you know?
That's probably a big reason why a lot of people don't want to vote either. They figure, well, it doesn't matter. The electoral votes are going to swing it anyway.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that now, look, Matt's from Texas, and I said we can write Texas off because we're not going to win Texas and we're not going to get the electoral votes. But if it was no electoral college, that would mean that, guess what, you need as many votes as you can get. So then that would mean the Obama campaign might go into certain counties or certain cities or certain areas where he thinks he can gain the most votes, and that would force the candidates to really campaign across all 50 states and not neglect, you know, others and just do battleground states.
Yeah, I agree. And those states think, you know, hey, they don't care about us.
No, I agree. All right, listen, let's go to Diane on the line from Port St. Lucie. Port St. Lucie, she wants to talk about forgiveness, okay? Diane, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Every day's a blessing, Diane.
Well, it's not so much that. It's in the Bible shortly after it says, let ye not judge lest ye be judged in the same light. And I'm not a Bible thumper, but these Bible thumpers really irritate me.
All right, well, listen, you got the last word there. You got a word from Scripture. I hear the music means we have to conclude today's program. So, as always, thank you, Tom Hartman, for the opportunity to speak to your audience today. And also, as Tom says, democracy is a participatory sport. Tag, you're it. And always, dream. Dream as though you'll live forever, and live as though you could die today. God bless. Dr. Mike Newcomb signing off.
listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.